Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse number 7. I'm going to preach on this subject tonight. Are the PA guys listening to me? No, they're goofing around. In due season is the name of the message. In due season. That's right. You know what? I'm going to tell you, those two young men, they might turn out for God. Just look at them. Look at that. I'm going to tell you, you can see the Holy Spirit glow on them, man. Shekinah glory. They've been spending time with Jesus, I can tell. And Galatians, what am I doing? Verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, I love this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, please, dear God, we need your help tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us. What an amazing portion of Scripture. So much truth is packed into just a handful of verses, Lord. But we'll get down to it eventually. But Lord, thank you for that little promise, in due season, in due season. And so, Lord, as we work our way down through this portion of Scripture, Lord, I just pray that you'd also please do a work in each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Talk about prayer and answer to prayer. I got a very, very encouraging report from Brother Nichols this afternoon about his dad. And they have diagnosed, got the test back, and he honestly had a major stroke. And the doctors are very much kind of baffled, because even though he had a major stroke, it seems to have had very minor effect on him. That sounds like our God. And I do want you to pray for him, because he still has to recover. There are some lingering effects, but your mom made it there, your sister there now, and they're waiting for the doctor's okay and thumbs up to fly him back to Sacramento. But I'm going to tell you, folks, what could have been a very, very serious situation, God's just protected him in that. And so you continue to pray that he would have full recovery and then be, as soon as possible, right back on the road being used of the Lord. And we need the gospel singing preacher out there. We need him out there. And so you pray for him, okay? All right. This is a time of year where it's very easy to talk about this subject, because it's so understandable to people that live in rural America. I crossed over the border, I kid about Illinois, but honestly, you go over to where Brother McCammon is, and it is so much like this area. Rural America, same kind of size type town, small town, rural America. Good salt of the earth people, you know, and they're like us. They understand farming. They're all talking back about planting their gardens and getting that all in. And we understand, just because of the way that we're raised and in the culture that we're raised here, you know, the law of sowing and reaping just makes really common sense to us and makes good sense to us. There's three tenets of the doctrine or the teaching of sowing and reaping. And these are the three tenets. You're going to reap what you sow. Well, that's just common sense. You know, it'd be silly for me to go down purposely buy seed corn for my garden, sweet corn, and then go to all the trouble and plant sweet corn, and then go out there in a few months and get mad at God because there's green beans growing. I mean, that don't even make sense. If I'm going to plant sweet corn, then I've got to expect that sweet corn is going to grow. So you're going to reap what you sow, and then you're going to reap more than you sow. And by the way, there wouldn't be any sense to go to all the work if that wasn't true. And by the way, never get used to the miraculous workings of our Creator. I can still remember as a little boy, just picking up that seed corn as we were putting in the ground. And you know that it's rock hard. You know, if you squeeze it, you can't squish it. You try to break it, it's almost impossible. And you look at that little thing. Are you young people thinking about this? And you put that in the ground, is put it in the ground and put it in proper depth and then turn it over to God. He'll put some sunshine and water on it. And out of that little teeny, come on, think about this, kernel of corn, next thing you know, you've got a stalk of corn that is this tall. That would be miraculous in itself that that came out of that. But then for there to be two or three ears of corn on there, you pluck those eventually, you peel it back, you count those kernels, and for the one that you put in, there are scores, hundreds of kernels of corn that it produced. That's a miracle, folks. And so you reap what you sow, and then you reap more than you sow. And then the third tenet to the law of sowing and reaping is you will reap after a space of time. And so again, if I was a little guy and I went out to the garden to help Dad way back in the day, and I planted a bunch of corn and green beans, all that we used to plant, and then, you know, planted them on a Monday, and then set my alarm early on Tuesday morning, got up, and Dad said, "What are you doing?" And I race out the door, "I'm gonna go get some sweet corn," you know. Well, everybody would laugh at the silliness of a little boy, because again, what we understand is that it takes patience. Come on now, folks, this is important in the work of God. All of this has spiritual application. It takes patience, it takes time for God to take those seeds that are planted. It takes some watering, it takes some sunshine. But you know what? Again, we're gonna talk about in due season. What? Well, you know, you get to go out there and you get to get that sweet corn. Now, I didn't really like the process. I didn't mind the planting. I don't think he looked at us and saw boys. He saw weed pullers, you know, and that was our job. And I didn't like crawling through that garden on my hands and knees and pulling the weeds and swearing I got them all, only to have my dad come out and inspect it and decided I needed to do the same row over again. But I sure like the sweet corn. Man, I sure like the fresh tomatoes. I still like garden fresh tomatoes. You've heard me tell the story, but Dad loved tomatoes. And when we get out there and we get to that time of year where we could start processing and picking some of that, he'd go out there in the garden and he'd have bib overalls on. Most of you have seen Dad in bib overalls. And the way back then, he'd have a little salt shaker hid in one of his pockets. And he would pick up a fresh tomato and he'd rub it off like this a little bit. That's all the cleaning it needs, folks. Come on. I mean, anything that's on there, it's just extra protein. It'll be fine, you know. And then he'd take a bite out of it like you would bite an apple. And then he'd take that salt shaker and go like that and take another bite out. And Dad would just sit there and juice running through his fingers. He didn't care. He'd just eat an apple or eat a tomato like I'd eat an apple. And, well, we sure enjoyed it. Fresh green beans. I like them that way. I like it even better when the ladies go into the kitchen and perform some kind of magic, and next thing you know, there's green bean casserole. I mean, come on now, that's stepping it up a notch, you know. And man, everything that comes out of there, I like. But you know what? It's not going to happen the day after. It's not going to happen the day after you plant the seeds. And so this portion of scripture and these three tenets, and this, by the way, this law of sowing and reaping is a divine law. This is a God law. Okay, there's no way to reverse this thing. There's no way to ignore this thing. God sanctioned this. God made it this way. The whole idea of sowing and reaping is a divine and holy ordinance that came from the Lord. And so because of that, because of these three tenets, then all of a sudden, you know, we need to make some observations and we need to make some good decisions in our life, okay? Because this law is not gonna go away. And so let's make some good decisions in our life. Number one, here's what we're gonna learn tonight. Number one, make sure you pick the right seed. Just make sure you pick the right seed, okay? Because the next verse talks about this idea, verse 8, that there are choices. Hey, young people, there's going to be a day you're going to have to make some choices. And if you decide that you're going to go out and sow your wild oats, then you know you're going to reap some wild oats, okay? And if you decide to sow after the flesh, the Bible says you Don't you're not going to receive the everlasting and the divine and the good things. You're going to have to deal with the corruption that sowing to the flesh produces. And you know what? If you go out, though, and that's not the only option. Thank God there's a good option here. And if you decide, you know what? I'm going to sow to the Spirit. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead me in my life. I'm going to do the works of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to find God's will for my life. I'm going to go out and I'm going to sow some good seed. I'm going to sow some good seed, and you can expect a good harvest. So you want to make sure you pick the right seed. And I've shared this with you, and I've asked him, he's okay with it. But, you know, Paul Chapman didn't get saved till he was towards the end of his high school. And we took him down to a church camp one day, and there was a preacher, and he was an older teenager when he got saved. And a preacher preached on this passage, and he preached on the law of sowing and reaping. And I saw Paul was disturbed and bothered during the message. I saw him go to the altar, and he was shedding some tears. And you know, a lot of times, folks, listen, you know, a lot of times I just leave our teens alone. You know, as far as sometimes, you know what, they just need to work things out with God, between them and God on some things. But, you know, there's sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of nudges somebody in a leadership position and says, you know, I can tell at the altar he's struggling a bit. And God kind of prompted me, why don't you go pray with him? And so I knelt down beside him, and I said, hey, buddy, what's going on? And he said, preacher, all I could think of was all the things that I've done in the world and all the bad seed I've sown. And he said, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about it. And pastor, preacher, what's going to happen with that seed? You know, I've sowed some bad seed before I got saved. What's going to happen with all that? And by the way, I told him three things. I'm going to tell you the same three things. By the way, look right up here. You don't help anybody by lying to them. You don't help anybody by lying to them. But you don't also help anybody by not giving them hope. All right? So I told him three basic things. I said, all right, let me explain something to you. I said, okay, watch this. Number one, I said, you're going to do a little reaping. I said, you know, for a few years here, there's probably some reaping that's going to go on from that bad seed. And he just kind of looked at me in despair, and I said, hold on a minute. I said, you know what? By the way, watch this, folks. You know what the world really wants, and I'm afraid a lot of Christians, they want sin without consequence. And one of the things I need to stand up and say, young people, are you listening to me? Sometimes it seems like, well, I'll just go run out there and I'll just do this for a few years and I'll mess around and I'll live like the devil and then I'll get it righted eventually and I'll land on my feet. And let me tell you something. Listen to me. There's consequences. All right? There's consequences. And I told him, and he just looked at me. I said, I'm going to tell you something else, though. Listen to me. I said, you're saved now. And let me tell you about your heavenly Father. He is merciful. He looks in your heart right now. If he sees true repentance and he sees that you're sorrowful over those things, and if you ask him for mercy, doesn't mean that you're not going to have to reap a little bit of that. But you know what? The whole idea of mercy, folks, the definition of mercy is us not getting what we deserve. And I said, you know what? God knows where you're at, and God knows your heart. And, you know, he can minimize that harvest if you're serious about serving him. And so then he seemed helped by that. And I said, now, one more thing. I'm going to leave you alone because you need to spend some time with God. But there's one more thing you need to do before you get up from here. He said, what's that? I said, empty your seed bag. You get all that bad seed and you empty it out. Because I said, here's the thing. You're so worried about this verse right now because of the past, but you're missing the blessing of this verse when it comes to the future. I said, dump the bad seed out, put good seed in it. You start planting that from day one right now, and guess what? You can expect next year and the year after and the year after and the year. By the way, keep planting that seed. Keep planting that seed. And if a little bit of that bad harvest comes, don't worry about it. Just keep planting good seed, planting good seed. You know how good your life's going to be 3 years from now and 4 years from now and 5 years from now and 6 years from now. Hey, I think all of us need to understand we've got a seed bag. Every one of us, we're sowing every day of our lives. Okay, and preacher, I'm in the middle of this, and it just seems like, you know, a lot of the harvest is coming in on some bad decisions. And I get it. But you know what? God loves you. But he's waiting for you to empty your seed bag. If you keep sowing the same seed you've been sowing, why do you think there's going to be a different harvest 2 years from now, and 3 years from now, and 4 years from now? I watched that young man do business with God. I watched him. Those of you that see the change in Paul Chapman, you know what I'm talking about. And man, from that day forward, he just starts sowing seed for God. And by the way, folks, you know where he's at now? He's pastoring in a church in Rhode Island. And by the way, God's used him to see hundreds of people come to Christ. And by the way, God gave him a good wife. And he's blessed him with good children. And you know what? God is a merciful God. Don't lose hope. Just change out your seed and keep going. And so make sure you pick the right seed. Number two, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in well-doing, all right? Listen, it's okay to get tired. I was preaching this, and then the Gordons got up, and the first thing they sing is, the preacher is weary. I'm like, yeah, amen. Singers are tired. I think that's the whole church right now, man. I'm up here. I don't have a voice left. We've had people working so hard around here and all the good things that have happened. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know who plans, you know, to do a Bible giveaway and then a friends and family day the next day and then start a revival at the same time. That's what happens when I start turning the calendar over to Brother Nichols. You know, this is the kind of nonsense we got to put up with, But man, I'm going to tell you something. We got to see some harvest. And listen, folks, sometimes I do get tired. And sometimes we can get weary. Watch this, folks. In the work, but don't get weary of the work. Okay? And it's okay. God understands we're human. That's why he put this in here. He said, you know what? Listen, don't get weary. Don't get weary in well-doing. You know what? Just keep planting the seed. Well, preacher, I know. I keep saying what? Watch this. Just keep tithing. Yeah, but our finances, and we've been doing it a while, and we still don't have, and we're still faith. I know. You know what? Remember, there's a space of time. You know, just keep handing out those tracts. Because number three, folks, watch this. There is coming a due season. Why should we not get weary in well-doing? Because in due season, there is. And preacher, I've just made a commitment, and I, you know, this whole thing, decided I'm going to get involved in it, and so I got. But you know, nobody's gotten saved. And by the way, number one, you don't know that. You don't know if anybody's got saved from those tracks or not. You know, I tell the story of Jim Beller. I won't go into it deeply tonight, but you know, pastored for years over outside St. Louis and wrote the book American in Crimson Red and the Spirit. Or the soul of St. Louis, and was used all over the country, but you know how he got saved? Somebody at a grocery store threw a track through his open window, and it landed on the seat of his car. Went home, read it, didn't like what he read, got mad, tore it up. A couple days later, went back to the same grocery store, got his groceries, put them in the back seat, looked down, he was a Catholic boy, backslidden Catholic boy, looked down there, saw the same track in his seat again. He thought it was the one he tore up. He thought Jesus and the Virgin Mary had put it all back together, laid it in the front seat, scared that Catholic boy half to death. He went and got it and shivered all the way home and ran to his room and checked the waste can, and thank God it was still there. And, well, where did this one come from? What had made him mad was he didn't like what it said, but at the bottom of that little chick track, every single page, there was a verse. So he got his Bible out, and he said, all right, I'm just going to read my Bible because I don't think it really says that. And every time it shows a verse, I'm going to see if the Bible truly says that. And he plowed his way through that. By the time he got the last page, he was under Holy Spirit conviction, knelt down by his bed, received Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to tell you, folks. You know what? He don't know who threw that track in the window. And the person that threw the track in his window has no idea that Jim Beller got saved and ended up in Bible college with me, sitting beside me in Greek class, trying to keep each other awake. Had a bus route beside mine in Chicago. I've eaten lunch with him. I can't tell you how many times. And then, you know what? Loved him all through his life in ministry. And God took him early for whatever reason. I miss my dear brother. But you know what? One person decided not to be weary in well-doing. Okay? You don't know. You don't even know what God is doing, what God isn't doing. So just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, you know. I'm tired, preacher. Well, you know what? You can pass out tracts when you're tired. Preacher, I would go soul winning, but I'm tired. Everybody that goes soul winning around here is tired. All right? Everybody that serves God is tired, all right? But you're going to be glad one of these days because there is coming a due season. I got the funniest text this morning. I got to share it with you. And I was thinking about due season. Well, when I went up to Fairbanks, where's Brother Joseph at? He got to hear the sermon, Summer is Coming, twice, one in Fairbanks, once in Anchorage, at two different churches. And he heard it here three different times. But, you know, there's people, they got to hear something three times, some of them. God knows if they don't hear it three times, they're not going to pay attention, they're not going to obey it, they're not going to listen to it. So sometimes that's the way God works. So I get up in Fairbanks, Alaska. They've had the coldest winter. I'm top five ever recorded, coldest winters, top five ever recorded, most snow. And I get a picture this morning, and it's a picture outside of the preacher, the pastor's window there, and snow is coming down, and there's this much snow still on the ground. And he said some preacher came up here a month ago and preached a message, summer is coming. So I texted him back and said, obviously the man was a false prophet, obviously. I just wanted to text back, in due season. Hang in there, my brothers in Fairbanks. Hang in there in Anchorage. I promise you, it may be middle of July, but summer is coming. I do understand, folks. I've done it a long time. You know, every once in a while I'll say kind of kiddingly, you know, I didn't fall off the turnip truck. I drove it in the driveway. I put my hours in. I've put my time in. I've gone through the lulls. You know, I've seen the times where it just seems like we were working and nothing was happening. I've gone through the stretches where we had to deal and fight through personal discouragement. I've had those seasons where there's the satanic attacks and here they come. Say, preacher, what advice can you give us? Just keep on sowing. Just don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep serving God. You know, folks, what we've experienced in the last couple of weeks, are you young people listening, all right? I want you to understand something. Don't take for granted what you just saw in the last couple of weeks. I don't have to tell anybody in here, even the young people, I don't tell them. That don't happen every weekend. And you know what? We can sometimes go through a stretch where we've gone a month or month and a half and sometimes maybe 2 months, and we're doing almost all the stuff we've always done, and just, you know what? We're just planting. Come on, we're just watering. But you know, you can say, well, preacher, nothing's happening. People aren't getting saved, and we're knocking on all these. I get it. I've been there. But isn't it amazing that if you just stay with it every once in a while, seems like the Holy Spirit just comes in and kicks the doors open and the windows of heaven open and God just lets us see something like we've saw. You know, folks, in due season, in due season, in due season. Verse number 4 says this, number 4, you will not see it. You will not see the miracles if you faint. Notice what it says in verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Comma. Wait a minute, there's an if. If we what? If we faint not. Now, folks, listen to me. I you get to this time in your ministry and you get 40 years under your belt. I'm just telling you, you know what? We're clipping a lot of coupons right now from 40 years of just refusing to faint. Amen. And we've seen the fainters. By the way, I think they really got saved, and I love them and I pray for them. But we've all seen the folks that come in and get saved and get excited for a short time. And maybe they even jump in and start really serving the Lord, and they do it for 2 years or 3 years or 5 years or maybe even 10 years. And then all of a sudden, you know what? Something discouraging happens. Come on, folks. It's part of the ministry. Somebody mistreats them. That's part of the ministry. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Or they just go through a satanic attack, a time of discouragement and depression. And you know what they do? They just say, you know what? They get that devil gets them down on the ground and kicks them up real good. And they just say one day, you know what? This just isn't worth it anymore. I'm just going to go out in the world. I'm just giving up. I'm just quitting. And I think to myself, man alive, you put 5 years in, you just paid the entrance fee to maybe start seeing something happen. Are you listening to me? I tell these young preachers that are out there, I said it to Brother McCam, and I said, son, you've been here 5 years now. You just paid the entrance fee. You just now figuring out how to pastor. I mean, you know what? Come on now. You want to see the miracles, you got to hang in there. And by the way, I'm not saying this because he's thinking of quitting or he's discouraged. I'm telling you, it's hard out there. I appreciate Brother Josh Davis coming back from visiting David and Ashley. And he stood up here and said, you know, folks, listen to me. I've always seen him come up in the bulletin. We've always prayed for him. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to pray for him differently. It's not easy out there. There are a lot of our young couples out there, and man, they're putting their time in, and they're earning their stripes, and you know, sadly, I'm going to just say it, they're ministering in the last of the last days. It seems like so many people are characterless, and it takes so little to cause somebody to quit nowadays, and people get upset sometimes over the silliest thing. I mean it. Just quit on God over some of the silliest things. One of our church planners was, or not church planners, but one of our young men out in ministry called me one day, and he said, you know, I've just taken a church, and he said, I'm no more than a month in, and he said, I changed the order of service a little bit on a Sunday morning and had some people get upset. And then he said this, he said, you know what, I have them sit during some of the singing, and I have them stand during some of the singing, kind of like what we do here. And a woman came to him and began to tell him and berate him and said, I don't think it's right for people to sit and sing. We need to stand on every single song. I think that that's honoring to the Lord, and started making a big deal out of the fact that they weren't standing for every song. And I'm thinking to myself, are there that many idiots out there? Please God, hopefully they're not reproducing. Left the church. I mean, I can understand leaving the church over making me stand and sing. I like to sit and sing. But are you listening to me? I hate to say this, folks. That is not an outlying situation. We've got these preachers out, these young preachers out there trying to pastor a bunch of bullheaded, stubborn, selfish, maybe saved Baptists. They come every single week and just look around to see what they can complain about. By the way, don't you become that. Don't you become that. All right, that's a cancer that'll kill you. It'll kill your Christian life. You can't show me a place in the Old Testament where the Israelites didn't go to murmur and complain, and where God didn't get mad and send judgment. Show me one place where God didn't get mad and say, if you're going to complain about how good I've been to you, you take this. Sometimes people keep getting the judgment of God going into their family. You know why? Because you can't quit the complaining and murmuring. Okay? You can just turn that in tonight, come to an altar and say, from now on, we're coming to church with a positive outlook. And we're going to look for the good in people and the good in our preacher and the good in the other members of our church. And we're going to say a positive thing, and we're going to be happy, and we're going to smile and pretend we're saved. Or maybe just start acting like it if you are. Amen. I get that, folks. You know, there's so many things we're enjoying now and seeing now. I wouldn't have seen if I'd quit after 5 years. Excuse me. Let me just say this. No, nobody knows that didn't live it. I'm going to tell you, Brazil in those 7 years wasn't a picnic. Okay, the years your mom and dad spent in Sistersville, that was no picnic. But her dad and mom stayed in the ministry. Got a mama in heaven, glad she stayed faithful. She didn't faint. Amen. Brother Rusty didn't faint. Yes, and you know what? God's going to test you some. He's going to say, you know, I'm sorry, but it's pretty easy to serve the God when we've had a stretch like we've had now. But what are you going to do when you fall on hard times? Come on, what are you going to do when you God allows some things in your life that don't seem fair? Hey, listen to me. Don't faint. Just don't faint. Why? Don't faint because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, let me give you the last one and we'll be done. Look at verse number 10 here. Here's the last thought. So make sure you pick the right seed. Number 2, don't grow weary in well-doing. Number 3, there is coming a due season. Brother Gray, Fairbanks, I promise you it's coming. All right. Number 4, you will not see it if you faint. Number 5, so be good to everyone, especially your fellow saints. So be good to everyone. And that's what it says there. We have therefore opportunity. And God will open doors of opportunity in your life this week to be good to someone. So if the door opens, you have the opportunity, be good to somebody. Okay. Let us do good to who? All men. So folks, listen to me. Let's be good to the lost. Let's be good to the lost. Okay, think about that. God was good to you when you were lost. God was good to me when I was lost. I mean, think about how good God is to people who are not saved, aren't even his children. He's good to them. Hey, let me ask you a question. I think you know the answer, but what's the kindest thing that you can do for a lost person? Amen. How about tell them about Jesus? Amen. How about telling them the good news? But folks, listen to me. A lot of times, you know, here, I got a picture. I'm going to show it to you, and you're too far away to see it. And say, why are you showing it to us? Because I want to see it. That's why I'm showing it to you. All right? And maybe on the front row here, if I can get my phone to work here. And there's a picture. This has been quite the week. Whew. It's been quite the week. And so a lot of sewing for 2.5 years into the hearts of 2 little nurses on my research team. A lot of sewing. We've been good to them. We've been good to them. My wife's been so good to them. They love her cookies. Come on, there's a way to get into the heart of lost people. It's cookies, amen. And here I'm running around the front, and we've got adults coming, and I'm trying to hook them up with soul winners. And I didn't even see that they'd come. And I turn around and take a step to the right, and there they are, my 2 nurses down there kneeling down. I got to kneel down between them and put my arms around them and said, you know, I love you girls. And I want to ask you something. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Well, that's why they came. They didn't know. And I got to talk to them about Jesus. I got to pray with them and listen to them pray. Folks, listen to me. That didn't happen the first day we met them. And you know what? Listen, can I say this? You know what? They've seen me at my best. They've seen me at my worst. But the worst on a Christian ought to be the worst like the world. Okay? And it didn't matter. You can ask my wife. It didn't matter how bad it was. It didn't matter how much you hurt. I never forgot that I'm ministering to 2 little girls I want to see come to Jesus. Amen. Hey, it's not all about you. Okay, you can sit there in your pity party. And you can get bitter at God. And you can get mean and nasty. And you're not going to win anybody. If we faint not. But here, then that happened Sunday. And then Thursday, I was going to go give. I got to have some blood drawn for them to check some things. So I headed up. I was going to go to Terre Haute. And I checked. And Dr. Mendoza has 2 offices. One in Terre Haute, one in Brazil. And the gal, the vampire that pulls the blood out of me, I call her the vampire, and she gets the blood out of me. And she was over in Brazil, so I headed towards Brazil. And I thought, you know what, I'm heading towards Brazil. This isn't going to take a moment. So I text Jerry Purcell Jr. And I said, man, I know this is short notice. I don't know how your dad's doing. I want to stop by and see him. And he said, you know, I got an appointment at 1 o'clock. And so he said, I'd love to be there. And I said, well, why don't I come straight there? I can get there by about 11:30 and I won't make you late because I want to see you too. And I sat on the edge of a hospital bed that's parked beside a big plate glass window. And now he's got the point where his legs are so weak that he told me that they're just about useless. I can't support my weight on them anymore. And there's a nurse in there, a day nurse that comes in, spends a few hours and helps him out, you know, and she's there. And I got to talk to Jerry Jr. And then he had to leave. And I went over and sat by the bed and talked to Jerry Purcell Sr. And once again, just thanked him for looking across the road and seeing the Ross family. My mom and dad, just in their middle 20s, moving in across the street, and four little kids running around, terrorizing the neighborhood. And the Christian people looked across the street and said, you know what, that family, they need Jesus. They started inviting us. They were good to us. Come on, they were good to us. Hey, why don't you start by being a good neighbor? Let's all start by being a good person, a good neighbor. Hey, you know, they were mean, nasty neighbors. You know what? We would never went to church with them. And so I sat on the edge of his hospital bed, and I told the nurse, would you take a picture? And I don't want to say for sure, but I just felt like when I was holding his head up so he could take a picture with me, I just felt like the Lord said, this may be it. This may be it. I told him after I left, I said, I'll see you again. Amen. And he said, if not here. Yeah. Amen. Right. I asked him, by the way, took the picture and I showed it to him. Nurse took the picture and I said, look at that. Have you ever seen two more handsome men in your life? Amen. And he just laughed. And I told him, pray for me before I go. And then what happened next? Felt like the room filled up with angels. Whew. And that man began to pray, and I knew that he was getting a hold of God. He prayed for this preacher. He prays for me every day. Folks, listen to me. You know why you get to set Blessed Oak Baptist Church? Amen. That man still hasn't fainted. He gets excited when telemarketers call him. When his phone says spam, he gets excited. Told me, he said, I can't go out and witness anymore, so when they call in, I always answer. I've got to lead three of them to the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Maybe he can't walk, but he hasn't fainted. Amen. And listen, let me tell you something. You get to the end of this thing, and you stay faithful. Come on, stay faithful. I know we're in the middle of a busy stretch, folks, and we won't ask you to live here, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be glad one of these days. Amen. I mean it. Some of you sometimes even get aggravated a little bit at the preacher. You know what? You're going to, at the judgment seat, you're going to be glad you had a preacher that pushed this church constantly to try to do something for the Lord. You're going to be glad on judgment seat day. And so, you know what? Here I got to see him this week. And I thought to myself, Lord, just, you know, whatever life I got left, I just want to live it for you. Amen. Come on, you young people. Man alive, don't you steal the best years of your life and use them for your wicked self. Don't you give the strength of your youth to the devil. Don't you do that. You give every bit of your life to Jesus. All of your life to Jesus. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd live them all for the Lord. I'd live every one of them for God. But yeah, it's been a little bit of an emotional week and some other things I won't talk about. But hey, folks, listen, don't get weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. And take this little thought as you leave tonight. For in due season. Because if you hang in there, let me tell you something. You're going to get to be a part of some neat harvests in the future. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for these good people. Lord, I'm so humbled to pastor this church. And Lord, I really believe this. I think some of the sweetest and most sincere and Christians that are alive today, I think you blessed me to be able to pastor them. And I don't know why, but you just gathered an unusual gathering here. Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And yet, Lord, as much as we want to serve you, we're human. And Lord, sometimes we do get tired and sometimes we do get weary. And Lord, that word weary means to lose heart. Sometimes we can get real close to losing heart. And then to faint. And the temptation's always there. Sometimes it just seems like life would be so much easier if we just took it out of your hands and put it in our own. But I pray, dear God, that we'd just take what we heard tonight, Lord, and may it put a little more fuel in the gas tank and help us, dear God, just keep going on, one foot in front of the other, looking for opportunities. Opportunities, I love that word tonight. As you have, therefore, opportunity. God, just open the doors of opportunity this week and help us, to Lord, not to walk past those open doors. And Lord, bless the people that have worked hard. Bless some Sunday school teachers that really went the extra mile this week. Bless the bus workers that all program long have gone the extra mile. And they're going to finish strong. Lord, thank you, dear God, for everybody that's helping us follow up on these people. Thank you for the new converts that have come in. They're such a blessing to each of our hearts, Lord. I see Kendra sitting back there. She's a blessing, dear God. And these young ladies, adult ladies that have gotten saved, and they're asking for dresses, and they want Bibles, and they want to start reading their Bible. And Lord, help us, dear God, to remember where we came from. Help us to reach out and invest, and Lord, put a little sunshine on these new plants and make sure we're watering what you can only do. And Lord, just help us to keep on keeping on. Thank you for the promise. In due season, ye shall reap if you faint not. Thank you for that promise.